EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, good.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. They have airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. I am your host, Nick Hunter, and if you'd like to share your experience on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or head to the website ufochroniclespodcast.com and message me via the contact page. Tonight's guests are Jenny and Jacob Floyd, Louisville natives and authors of Aliens Over Kentucky, an account of extraterrestrial encounters from the Bluegrass State. But first, I would like to thank this week's 5-star ratings and reviewers on Apple Podcasts. And they are Matthew Lewis, and Lynn's the Alien from the United Kingdom, and JRG5271 from the USA. Thank you guys, I really appreciate it. It helps the show become more visible to new listeners and potential guests. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome Jenny and Jacob Floyd to the show.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Otherly known as the Frightening Floyds.
That is correct. We are the frightening type.
Very spooky.
Yeah.
And authors of Aliens Over Kentucky.
Yep, that's stories about different sorts of extraterrestrial UFO and alien encounters and theories from the Bluegrass State.
Fascinating stuff. And you're going to be sharing some of those stories tonight in your book. But first, you're going to start off with some personal stories you've had, some personal encounters.
Yes. Well, we'll go ahead and start off with the one that the both of us had. We were coming back from this small town in Kentucky that's south of Louisville. It's called Shepherdsville. And we were driving down this road called Conestoga Parkway. And when you go up on it, it goes kind of high up on a hill before when it reaches its apex before it goes down towards Preston Highway. And when you get up on the top, I guess you call it the peak of the road, you can see this big hill off to the west. There's a town around there called Hillview, and that's why it has that name, because you can see this giant hill. And up above it, we saw three lights on top of one another. They were several feet apart, but the way they were stacked, we were like, what the heck is that? You know, at first we thought maybe it was just some planes doing something. But we thought that's awfully strange. It's like a perfect line. And then they started to make these formations. And so we were like, huh, this is weird. Let's follow them. So we followed them for several miles down to the Louisville International Airport. And it's down there where the world hub for UPS is. And so we were following it, and there we got out into the Louisville area, and we saw, like, suddenly there's this low-lying fog or mist or something was in the sky, and it was really low. And we thought, huh, this is strange, but oh, well, it could have just been some weird Kentucky weather, you know. And so we got closer to the plane, and they were kind of making some weird noises, but we thought, you know, we're not, you know, experts on avionics or, you know, planes and all that and aeronautical things. And we got next to it, though, and it was really low in the sky. We looked up, and we could see, when I was driving, we could see the plane looked like it had a rectangular fin-type area in the back, which I'd never seen anything like that before. It was very blocky, very rectangular, and the body was the same way. And we were watching it, and as close as we were to it, we were like, I've never seen anything like that before. And then it suddenly just vanished up into the sky, to the mist. And the other ones had done that as well. So we were like, that was really strange. What was that? We ended up driving back home, you know. And the next day, there's this YouTube show that we would watch that talks about, you know, UFOs and stuff. And we actually found out on that show that that night there had been reports of strange radar blips in the area and a few other surrounding areas. And they were unexplained blips on the radar where no one could actually knew of any planes in the sky. I mean, and they were like long lines of it. And they were reporting chaff. Some planes were letting chaff off into the air. And, you know, that's usually supposed to be the stuff that they, when they're running exercises or whatever, they can let it out or they can kind of hide or whatever. And none of the surrounding airports could confirm any of that. And they said they didn't have anybody out doing drills or letting chaff into the air. And they didn't have anybody out flying, doing anything. And then a few days later, the story started coming out about test runs from all the way out in California or something. And it was just really weird. We thought, huh. So we were driving in there. We saw that. We know they were very strange looking aircraft. We thought that was a pretty interesting incident.
Mine would be when I was a child. I think I was about 6. Can't remember the exact. I know I was a young girl, and my father worked at GE for a very long time, and he came home one night, and he was home early. My mom was like, why are you home? And he said, there's UFOs at the GE plant. And my mom goes, what? You know, like, are you serious? And he goes, I saw them. They were round balls, like orbs or whatever. And I looked at my mom because I watched X-Files at the time. And I was like, oh my God, this is real. And my mom said, go to your room. And, like, I didn't go to my room. And my mom turned on the news and they said there was an unidentified craft and there was the police who chased it. And I was like, oh, it's real. I'll never forget that. My dad was so hyped up. He said they made everybody go home. And when he was leaving, he saw it. The helicopter. Never forgotten it.
Yeah, it was really strange because you can look at the reports. These two air traffic control guys, they were legitimate air traffic control cops, and two cops on the ground saw it. So it was really strange. And then there's been other strange UFO incidents happening with other GEs. And that's really odd that
very odd
that that would happen. We could tell them about the one too about Burger King.
Yeah.
Yeah. In our chapter about the triangles, because there's always these triangular crafts that are reported being seen. We were driving through Hillview, Kentucky, down Preston Highway. And, you know, if anybody's been there, it's a very populated area. It's a small town, but it's got a lot. That whole area has a whole lot of stores and restaurants, just about all the fast food chains, tons of restaurant chains and grocery store and department store chains. We get to this point where there's a Burger King. And next to this Burger King is a fairly large tower. It's not super tall, super huge or anything. But we were driving by it, and Jenny goes, what is that? You see that over there? And I look, and there's this triangular craft by this tower next to Burger King, and it's just hovering there. And I'm like, what the heck is this? So we pull over in the highway.
And there was other people that pulled over.
Yeah, and we pull over because there's a grassy median in the middle separating the north and southbound lanes, sides. And we pulled over, and we're looking, and we watch it, and it goes from being level to pointing its triangular peak up into the air. It's just pointing that way. And we kind of went up in the air a little more. And then we were like, holy crap, we got to have to get the camera. And I was fishing for the camera. And by the time we looked up for to take a picture of it, it was gone. And we didn't hear anything else about it or anything. But that was a pretty, pretty hard to explain moment because it's pretty close. We were pretty close to it. It was hard to really misinterpret that craft.
And did you see actually any lights on the craft?
Yes, there were lights on the craft. They were just kind of like your standard, you know, lights on the corners and stuff. Wasn't anything, you know, blinking like over multiple
the
colors.
Sound. I'll never forget but, the sound.
Yeah, and it was kind of like humming, and it was really strange. I mean, it was, I think that was probably the closest encounter we've had.
I wanted to be like, go to Taco Bell and the Burger King and ask, did you see that? Did you hear that?
Did y'all know y'all had aliens right over top of you?
Now, so the listeners that don't know what the chaff dumping is, it's something they do with dropping aluminium strips down and it would throw off radar.
Right, yeah. It was to cover, it was basically, just to say in the best way, it was basically to cover them from radar detection, essentially.
I know it's been used for many, many years.
Yes. I'm not 100% sure just exactly how long, but we know they've been using it for quite a while and they do use it in test runs. But there was a lot of people felt like with that particular one that the explanations just didn't fit. Like they were like, why would craft from that far away be dropping chaff over this area? There's no reason for it.
And there's reports all over for Florida.
Yes, there were Florida reports at the time too, and that's very like why, you know, Florida and Kentucky and Indiana doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up.
And one of the military bases said they didn't authorize it.
Yeah, the military bases around here didn't authorize it. Fort Campbell, I believe.
It was Fort Campbell. Yeah.
And you can forgive me. Sometimes we write so much of this, you know, in research. Sometimes the
it
names
just popped in my head.
Sometimes the names of the certain places might and people might get jumbled up. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Fort Campbell.
One of the military bases.
Yeah, and then I believe the one in Indiana too said that they didn't know anything about it. I believe.
Curious.
Yes, very.
I mean, obviously, Kentucky seems a very active place. I mean, there's some of the stories in your book. Some I've heard of, some I haven't. The cases. One in particular is Close Encounters with the Kelly's Creatures.
Yes, they have different names. The Kelly Creatures, the Hopkinsville Goblins. It's one of the more well-known alien encounters. I won't go into like full force detail about it, but essentially, this family, they saw a light come across the sky as if a craft had landed. And then essentially what they explained were like aliens, the little green men. This was like the first time the little green men moniker was given to these creatures. So they kind of fell up on the house. And at first it appeared as if they were just kind of floating around looking at the house, but then suddenly they began to attack, and some of the men, you know, shot at them, and they described it as they were just the bullets would just bounce off of them, off the creatures. And some of the, I think the kids described it as they saw them outside the window, and all kinds of stuff just went on, and they eventually took it to the police. And then they went back, and then the area was investigated, and they found all the shells and all that, and all the, you know, they could see that there was a shootout. And I think the Kentucky State Police went there, and I feel like there was someone from someone from a nearby military base went there to check it out. And, you know, the different theories came about. Some people said that they were just drunk and just seeing owls, great horned owls. And other people said that they thought maybe they were just covering up for a shootout that happened. They ended up just packing up and leaving, apparently. And, you know, why would they do that? Now, they have a festival every year.
The Kelly Creatures Festival.
The Kelly Creatures Festival down there. Like I said, the lady, one of the children that were there, she's now grown. She's written books on it. We met her at CryptidCon. And she's really nice, really approachable. And she likes talking about it. And, Yeah, it's a really interesting story, and it was one of my favorites to read about. And I know Jenny really liked reading about it as well. And what did you think? What is your input about the story?
It's definitely one of my favorites. My thing is, I think there's all these people that want to disprove everything and just say, I love how like it's always an owl or a bird or a crane.
Yeah, like the Sandfield crane for the Mothman. Yeah.
I think if people would just open up their mind and just realize there's other things than what we're told to see.
Yeah, and I think once you get people whose only explanation is like, oh, well, they were drunk, or those people were they were from the woods, the hills, they don't know. I think once you hear somebody try to explain it that way, I just don't think it's credible to even listen to someone who tries to explain it away like that. It's like, give me something better than that. You can't just say people are a certain way and you don't even know them. You know, you got to know these people before you can make that assessment. If you don't have a real explanation, then, you know, your opinion is not really all that credible. So, I mean, I want to take it on faith that these people really saw what they saw. Is there a possible explanation that's not alien? Sure. You know, we weren't there. And a lot of these people that want to say derisive things about the family, they weren't there. Sutton was there. She knows, and she'll talk to anybody about it. So, you know, it's an interesting situation.
They're country folk. You know, they live out there. You know, they ain't going to be shooting at no owls.
They know, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like she said when we asked her about it, she said, well, she goes, these guys were a bunch of good old boys. They know the difference between, they know what's an owl and what's not. And it's like, yeah, they probably see owls on the daily out there.
My thing is, goes into the paranormal people. I call them the debunkers that will just start a trend and people will go with it, like the bird trend with the aliens, and
or the people in the paranormal world who are obsessed with pareidolia. That's their answer for everything.
Yeah,
and of course all these explanations they will apply at times,
right,
but you can't
disprove everything out there,
because you know, you got to disprove, you got to have evidence too, right? If you want to disprove it, so you can say it's this, but until you can prove it's that, your answer still is just as speculative as someone who says it was an alien.
Yeah, they usually say alcohol. Have you been drinking? You know, I've been drinking and I've never seen no aliens.
Yeah, right, me neither. Like, I mean, I don't drink, but you know, like I have in the past, and it didn't make me see aliens or ghosts or wolfmen or anything like that, so you know.
We'll be back with Jenny and Jacob after the Swamp Music Players with Devil's Toothpick.
Schoolyards are empty. Hey. I used to have a home down in South Oolongi. I used to have a country life. Now it's all just rush, rush, rush. To have a family life, now it's all through our machine. I used to call this country home, now it's broken, stone cold and dry.
Now, the dogfight over General Electric, was that the same one, Jenny?
Yes.
And that's quite a famous case as well.
Yes, it is the case to me here in Louisville. I think that definitely something was there. I don't know if GE or whoever, I mean, my dad would not lie over that. He was a blunt person, and I'll never forget it because they let everybody go. And they told him it was an unidentified craft, and the police chopper was out. He described it and everything. I just remember as a child, I was like, oh my God, the X-Files, everything they say is real. It's true. It's based on real stuff. And it just blew my mind. I knew ghosts exist as a child, but that was getting into another world with aliens.
So what got you both started?
On aliens in particular, just the whole paranormal realm. Well, we both, even before we knew each other, had always been interested in paranormal and aliens and stuff. We started doing ghost stuff first. We had tours. We wrote a couple books. But we always wanted to write one about aliens. And we were like, yeah, aliens over Kentucky. That's what we decided. That would be a cool name.
And I wanted to do it because I'm always about... I want to give people out there something they can enjoy who are into this and they need something, you know, that they like to read about. Because I remember as a child, I would go to the library and I would be like, okay, ghost books, you know, and or aliens or something. And there wasn't really anything, you know. I want to be that person who provides material for people to enjoy.
Yeah, I enjoy the too when people come to us at book signings and they're like, well, nobody ever believes my stories. And I'm just like,
and me feel like I'm doing my job right.
And it's, yeah, it's like, well, go ahead and tell us, you know, we believe in, you know, the possibility of anything.
I guess the real life Mulder and Scully.
Yeah. And I've always had some crazy ideas and I know what it's like for people to kind of scoff at them. And I just want to know, like, and Jenny and I want people to know that, you know, we are willing to listen and willing to believe people saw what they saw. Like we always say, whether it's ghosts, cryptids, or aliens, our first go-to, because we do keep skeptical in mind about things, but we don't go to the point of saying, oh, well, this person's just making this up. We don't do that. It's possible. Yeah, people do that. People make up stuff. But normally I feel like what people, if it's not a cryptid or alien or paranormal, if it's not, it's probably just a misinterpretation of the events. And I don't think people usually try to make that stuff up. Maybe these urban legends, yeah, people, they have a root in truth and then they get embellished. But when people say they saw an alien, saw Bigfoot, which I do believe there's probably something that's a Bigfoot type creature out there, or ghosts, then it's probably, if it's not really what they think it is, then it would just be a misinterpretation. We don't like to say people lie. But back, you know, saying what got us started.
My family was in spiritualism. My great-grandfather, he lived in Old Louisville. He was a fortune teller. He predicted for my grandmother and grandfather that someone would knock on their door and not answer. And that person robs their neighbor or something. And he died a horrible death. He got hit by a taxi. But he left a bigger impression on my family with spiritualism. My mom used to go to a fortune teller when I was a kid. My first encounter with a spirit was my mother's father. It was in Shepherdsville. Our ghost tour is on. And I remember playing out in the front yard. And I remember this man went down on his leg and he goes, "You look just like your mother." It's just like, I can't remember all of it. Like, I just remember that moment. And I remember my mom sitting on the porch, and it's just weird. It just, when I got older, I was like, I know that man. Well, not older, but a young girl. I was like, I know who he is. I met him before. And my mom's like, no, he didn't, you know?
Yeah, she thought it was her grandfather, and she had never met her grandfather. And she was able to say, that's my grandfather, when she was a little kid. And it was kind of like, how would you know? You never met him, you know?
So. But I remember the fortune teller that my mom would see. My mom told her about it. And she asked me to come here. I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. What did I do? And I was terrified of that lady. And she held out my hand and she looked at me. She goes, you know, it's rude to read people without their permission. And I remember her telling my mother some things, and part of it has came true. But that lady, I wish my mother would tell me her name. She can't remember it, she says. She worked with the police out here in Louisville. And I've been researching. I will find out someday, though. I did my first ghost hunt when I was 11 at a place called Jolie Antiques, which is on our Nulu tour when we did that. It was very interesting to say that.
That was and that's an interesting place in itself. Anyway, the business is closed now, but the building's still there. Supposedly very haunted.
11 years old.
Yeah, it was in the paper too. It was pretty neat. They mentioned my mom's name. And I remember going up on the second floor. There was a psychic there. And she didn't really go to the hot spots, where I thought was pretty haunted. She said, there's a man over here. He's really attached to his couch, and I smell cigarette smoke. And I was like, okay, sure. You know, it's like, I don't see him. But one of the reporters who were coming upstairs, because it was dark, they didn't have the lights on. The daughter who owned it, we were good friends with her. And but one of the workers were there too. But one of the reporters were coming up the stairs, I screamed my head off because I didn't know if it was real or, and he was like, it's me. I'll never forget that. So it's been pretty interesting for me starting out as a child with all the experiences and stuff. And me and Jacob started doing it around 2015 together. We went on a couple of ghost hunts. Well, a couple, a few.
Yeah, it was a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, we organized, our own at this church that's on our Nulu tour. We don't do that. It's a tour in Louisville. We don't do it anymore because I can't make the walk anymore. We organized a couple of public investigations at this church that has a church building, a parish house, and then another building right next to it, all three in a row. It was interesting.
Very haunted.
Yeah, very, very, some kind of energy going on there, that's for sure.
Basically, Mulder and Scully of Kentucky.
Yes. Yeah.
Except, you know, I think we're both kind of like on the line of, we believe this, but we also know, well, maybe this is the skeptic. I don't think either one of us is the hardcore skeptic like Scully.
Well, even she changed towards the end.
Yeah, she did.
So you're still active doing tours?
We thought about bringing back, because of Jacob's physical ability right now, he can't do the tours, the Shepherdsville one.
Yeah, we had the two. We had Shepherdsville and we had Nulu, which is actually the East Market District of Louisville. And they were walking tours, and they were both about an hour and a half long. And my conditions that I have deteriorated, and I can't make those kind of walks anymore, and I can't really stand in one spot for very long. So, but with the Shepherdsville tour, we think we might have found a way around it to where I don't have to walk the whole thing, because it's a lot more adventurous. There's a lot more space going on out there. And the Nulu tour was kind of just a straight walk down one side of the street with just a lot of ghost stories. The Shepherdsville tour was much more popular because there's a lot more going on.
You felt like you were going on like an adventure.
Yeah, because you got to walk around a historic little town. And there's just a lot of cool stories. But we think we might be able to figure out a way around it and maybe do that one again, hopefully, because that one was a lot of fun.
People interested in maybe your tours and also your book, where can people reach you? Have you got a website?
We're in the midst of still building the website. We had to figure, because right now we have 4 different small presses, and we, you know, have other endeavors that, you know, that we do on the internet. We plan to probably in the future, not anytime right now or anything, open other little small imprints for other genres of writing and who knows what else. So we were trying to figure out a way to link them all into one site. And I think we finally figured out how we're going to do it. We're going to do it in a very crude and very simple fashion. So we haven't built the website yet, but it's something we're going to be doing very soon. Right now, we're basically running off Facebook. If you're looking for Anubis Press, you can find Anubis Press on Facebook. We have an Anubis Press page.
And Instagram.
Jenny's really good at Instagram. I'm not that great at it. I'm really good at Facebook, though. But with the Anubis Press, so people can see everything that's available, Jenny created in the album section. She puts pictures of the books that are available right now and who they're by and how much they are and links to them. So that's pretty cool. And the tours, same thing. We're on Facebook with the tours as well.
What I'll do is I'll put all links to you guys, to the Frightening Floyds, all in the show notes and on the website as well, so people can get in contact with you. And they can also pick up a copy of your book as well, Aliens Over Kentucky.
Sounds good. We appreciate that.
Very much.
Like, we do okay with our videos, even though we don't do much on them, but we still get people who message us and they're like, I saw your video and this and that. And they're like, well, cool.
One guy really creeped me out because I do cemetery photography. And I was at Cave Hill and he came out of nowhere. I thought it was the security guard. They know it's there, granted, but I was like, I looked over and he goes, what did he say?
He was some guy that was just watching us because Cave Hill is really hilly. And you got one grave, you got one section of graves up here and then a steep hill and then a road. They got it pretty well groomed over there. And there was this guy standing on the road looking at us while she was taking pictures. And I was like, what the heck is this guy looking at? And he comes walking up the hill towards us, and we were like, oh, what the heck? And he goes, hey, you guys going to make any more videos? I follow you all, commented on one of it. And I was like, oh, okay.
And we went back, and we were like, oh, my God, he really did.
He really did. Like, oh, my God.
Who is this guy?
We were like, people really know who we are? Oh, my God.
He really did follow you.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, he followed us. All right. We've been surprised when people are like, hey, you those ghost people, or you wrote this book. And we're like, hey, these people know. I was in KFC one day, and this guy was looking at me. I was like, he goes, aren't you the guy that wrote the ghost book? And I was like, yeah, me and my wife, we wrote them. And he was like, I read one of them. I saw him I forgot where he said he saw him at. I'm like, okay, well, cool, man. Thanks for reading. It's really weird when that happens, like, because you don't really know that you write.
If they're going to like it, or they're going to be like, oh, I don't like that stuff.
And you put this stuff out, and when you're making it, you're like, you don't really think that anybody might actually read it and remember you. Then you're like, wait, hold on, okay. That's why there's a story in that book, The Aliens Over Kentucky, that I wish they would make more well-known, and it's the Stanford abductions. But I have a theory about that. We both have a theory about
that. Have you heard of those before we say anything about it?
I have. That's actually where I'm up to in the book at the minute.
Okay, here's our theory.
That I think it's definitely, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of abduction cases that get rather popularized and rather famous. And you know as well as we do, there's people out there that don't want any of these stories leaking. And they want to be able to beat up on them, right? And I think some of the abduction stories that become more famous are ones that they can still find a bunch of holes in and beat up on, right? They can say, oh, well, look, this Travis Walton case. They're like, oh, well, see, here's all the problems with this, this, and this. The Stanford abductions, you can't punch any holes in it. If you read that, there's nothing in that. There's no way to really debunk them without saying they were just lying, without saying they were lying, without having any evidence. And I think they don't want people to know about the Stanford abduction case because it's so ironclad.
Nobody ever talks about it.
Nobody ever talks about it. And it's so hard and they can't punch holes in it. So they probably don't want anybody knowing about it. And I wish people would know more about it.
Nobody really talks about the GE here.
Yeah, and the GE, because those were legit people. These were cops.
And people that worked there.
People that worked there, not loonies, not people that they can say, oh, this person's crazy. They have a history of doing this. No, these were like solid people. That's the ones they want to cover up because that's harder to explain away.
And all these stories are in your wonderful book. Very well written as well. So anyone listening out there, get yourself a copy of Aliens Over Kentucky by the Frightening Floyds. Who gave you that moniker?
Me and somebody else were talking Megan just being silly. And I was like, yeah, we're the Frightening Floyds. And I don't even remember the whole course of that conversation. I was like, yeah, we're the Frightening Floyds.
And we just ran with it.
And we were like, you know, that sounds really good. Let's go with it.
It's perfect.
We like it. I think it's pretty good. Somebody called us the Fabulous Floyds one time. We were like, you know, we like that too, but we're going to stick with the Frightening Floyds.
Yeah, that's more like to go to a show tune, maybe. The Fabulous Floyds in Broadway.
Yeah, we were dancers and singers, but I tell you what, if you don't want me, you don't want to see me dance, you don't want to hear me sing. So we're going to stick with the Frightening. That's probably more frightening than anything we come up with, anything we write about. So we're just stick with that one.
Because obviously on the show, I try and cover as much as possible. Like in Canada, not just UFOs. You know, it could be, I've had a few Bigfoots on here.
Yeah, Bigfoots, you know, when it comes to cryptids, I think a lot of them are misinterpretations. You know what I mean? But I do believe in the possibility of a Bigfoot. I mean, it makes sense. Even if he's not what they say he is, this 10-foot monkey with giant hair that screams and rips things apart. Well, like, I mean, there's got to be, there's a missing link, right? And there's got to be somewhere out there. And if people are, and too many people have reported seeing him, seeing it. It's got to be something to it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of reports. Have you got anything down in Kentucky?
We know a guy who's been on some shows.
Rodney.
His name is Rodney Adams. Very knowledgeable.
He's been known to give Bigfoots candy.
Yeah, he's a very knowledgeable Bigfoot hunter.
Yeah, he's the Bigfoot hunter, one of them.
And there's a skunk ape out here somewhere. And a Bigfoot, and there's a Bigfoot, Kentucky Bigfoot Research Organization.
He's part of.
Is he part of that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in a lot of people know about that. And he does ghost hunting, too, as well.
He came on a tour. That's how we met him.
Yeah, the
him and his wife.
Yeah, the paranormal investigation we were referring to earlier that we set up at the church. He came on one of those, and that's how we met him. But yeah, there's a lot of...
He climbed all the way up to the bell tower of the church.
Yeah, and it's a pretty steep climb of that church. I couldn't make it.
No, but they took film on it. We did have it on the Frightening Floyd. I don't know if it's... I'm pretty sure it's there, but...
It was at one point.
Yeah. Him and a person that you went to school with, they both did it.
Yeah.
And they climbed pretty far. It was pretty crazy.
Actually, on the last episode, I had a skunk ape, and that was from Florida.
Yes, that's where...
Yeah, that's the most famous of the skunk apes, I do believe, the Florida skunk ape. Yeah, that's always... I think the skunk ape is not the same as Bigfoot, but I think he's along those lines. Of course, you know, some think he'd just be an escaped ape, but I don't think so. He's been seen too many times out there, and...
Too many people, yeah.
Too many people. And if he was an ape, a true ape, for one, he wouldn't go out of his way to avoid people. I don't think. I'm no ape specialist, but from my understanding, they're not very timid creatures.
No.
If I'm not, unless I'm getting them mixed up with gorillas, I'm pretty sure that they're territorial. And if they claim a place, that's their place. And they're not really known for smelling really bad like that. I guess unless
they are.
Oh, the regular apes are?
No, the skunk ape.
No, that's what I'm saying, a regular ape. The people think the skunk ape is some kind of regular... The debunkers think he's a regular ape.
They think he's an orangutan?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, an orangutan. Yeah, that's what they think, he's an orangutan.
Because they get enormous. They really do.
And I just don't think he's an orangutan. I think he's just another primate that's... And that's what these cryptids are. The Bigfoot, they're just unidentified primates, in my opinion. But they are fascinating creatures, you know.
I think a lot of people know about the Gimlin video. But I think that's generally about it. People don't realize how many sightings there are every year, because there are a lot.
Same thing like UFOs. You know, you go onto these sites that have UFOs. There's one site that has a bunch of UFOs, and they just keep track of like every UFO sighting. And there's just so many on there. It's insane. It's pretty interesting stuff.
You know, saying something like every 2 minutes there's a UFO sighting.
I don't even know what to say about it. You know, it's just too much out there to not be legitimate. I was going to say earlier about the bad thing about these UFOs, these alien crafts, is that there is the possibility that every single one of them could be just military stuff. And that's the disappointing thing, right? Do I necessarily believe that's the case? No, I don't believe that. I think that there are alien crafts come here. I don't think that everything that's been called an alien UFO is an alien craft. I think a lot of the triangular ones are military planes. So I think some of them may not be. It's just hard to say. You know, and it's like the people that argue the military, I can see them not wanting classified stuff to get out, but I just don't see them going through that much trouble for all these decades and decades. I don't know. There's got to be some. I think there's most logical people will say there's no way there's not other life out there, right? Sure. But they would say the question is, have they ever visited Earth? That's the question. I think they have.
One of the book things we went to, there was a woman. She wrote. I don't know her. I have one of her books, but I met her. She was speaking with us. One of the book things, but anyways. She said that she had a X-ray and she had something like a up her nose. It was like a weird chip, and they found something weird on her brain.
Yeah, this woman had this stuff in her brain and in her nose, and it was like, okay, what?
Yeah, the implants.
Yeah, the implants. What are they doing and why are they doing it?
And the doctors, like, they couldn't like figure out what was going on.
It's spooky, man. I mean, it is. I think about that.
It's very common. Some people say that it's tracking, and other people say it's to do with it's a benefit to you in some form or another. But again, it depends who you speak to. I think I covered that in the Terry Lovelace episode. He had implants. I actually took to a guy who then removed it.
When I was little, I did have a weird encounter. We'd have a ghost tour, right? It was in Shepherdsville. I was laying in bed. And I remember
we tell the story we used to tell it on the tour is what she.
Yeah. I get so excited about things. Mm-hmm. Like I just got blurted out before I forget. I just remember I always thought this person, it wasn't a person. It was, I need to read up about it more. I just remember always being scared of it. It had like a long neck and the face was really weird. I just remember screaming at the top of my lungs, and my dad woke up and he ran out the door because I was petrified anyways, having nightmares and stuff. And my mom, you know, she's always trying to tell me it's all right, you know, but I've always remembered that.
And then you say like he couldn't find, your dad ran out the door and couldn't find
what it was.
Yeah.
And I talked to when we started doing this, a paranormal investigator here in Louisville. She got us into it a little bit, but she used to do Waverly Hills. She said there was a weird thing in the 70s. Why were all these children missing? And she said that the Grays, you know,
the Grays were taking the children. They came missing. There's a lot of children went missing in the 70s out here. And she was speculating that
nobody could be going out and stuff.
Yeah, some weird kind of swept under the rug incident. So much out there, you know, it's hard to say that they're not here doing something. And, you know, you got all these different races that are supposed to exist, aliens, and too many people are having these encounters.
A lot of the time people say that they're here to benefit mankind or they're here to take over. I don't think it's, to be honest, I don't think it's either of that. I just think they're just doing their thing. I think that's what it is.
Curious, and they might do it all on other planets too. So, I mean,
to me, I don't know. I just don't feel like they want to hurt us because they already would have, like, stopped. I've read things about how, like, when the wars were going on, like, they were trying, they've seen UFOs, like, you know, and they're trying to stop it. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, because we can't tell that, we can't even tell what their motives are.
Crazy things that have happened, all these disasters, and they've never seemed to get involved in any of that or any of the wars. When it comes to the nuclear side of it, obviously they've got an invested interest in those things not going off because obviously they're very, very destructive. But I generally think they're just doing their own thing and they only intervene if it puts everything else in the universe in danger.
There was this video I saw. It was a UFO by a plant, you know, and I thought that was really interesting. It was like, I don't know, maybe it was like warning them, you know.
Yeah, don't be shooting off nukes.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you both today.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate you having us on.
Yes, we enjoyed it very much.
It's been a lot of fun. We love talking about this stuff.
Yeah, it's important to be passionate about it, isn't it?
Yes, it is very much.
That is all for today. If you'd like to share an encounter on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. I will be back next week with another witness encounter, also from Kentucky, with an incident from 1955. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.